This is the continuing series of the seven judgments, and while I explain or do the review, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, we'll read Matthew 25, 31 through 46 momentarily, but we've already looked at the judgment at Calvary. Colossians tells us that Jesus took our sins out of the way, nailing them to his cross. So as far as condemnation goes, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your sins, past, present, and future, in fact, they were all future when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when you figure it that way, but they have been paid for, and that means we're bought with the price, and that means that Jesus owns us. The second thing, we looked at the self-judgment of believers. Day by day, we're to examine ourselves, and if we see that we've sinned or if we see that we're lacking, we need to get right with God and confess those sins, not because we lose our salvation, because all of our sins are put away because of the cross judgment, but we want to be in fellowship with the Lord. We're always God's children. It's whether we're good children or bad children. It's better to be good children. It'd be better to be in fellowship with the Lord than be in the woodshed with the Lord. And that's why there needs to be self-judgment. Then last week we looked at the what's called the judgment seat of Christ, and I told you that the underlying Greek word there is bema, and that is where we appear before the Lord to have our works evaluated for reward. Now, there's gold, silver, and precious stone. You know as well as I do that those things don't burn. But then there's wood, hay, and stubble. And so all of our works are examined. It says the day shall declare it. And if we've done good, we're going to receive reward. Not so that everybody can go around and say, well, my rewards are better than your rewards. No, no, no. I don't believe that that's it at all. I believe, for looking at the other passages of Scripture, that gives us something to throw at Jesus' feet in grateful appreciation for what he has done for us. Amen. So today we come to the judgment of the Gentile nations, also called the sheep and goats judgment. So let me read to you Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46 in our King James Version of the Bible. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left hand. Then the king shall say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Sobering passage of Scripture for sure. And as I was reading this week, I came upon a quote by the late Dr. John F. Wolford, not to be confused with his son. But Dr. Wolford said this, quote, In the broad program of divine dealings with the Gentiles, the sovereignty of God over creation is revealed in an unusual way. Although God, in his sovereign grace, has allowed the Gentiles to assume power, and in the words of Jesus Christ, quote, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's a quote from Luke 21:24. The consummation of this program inevitably brings the Gentiles before God for a much deserved divine judgment. End quote. Now that's what we're looking at here in the judgment of the sheep and the goat nations. Let's first of all examine when this is going to happen. According to Matthew chapter 25, down in verse 31, if you look at there, it says, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. The context indicates that this is the coming of Christ coming to Christ to earth in connection with the establishment of his earthly kingdom. So, what this is we see this happening at the end of the tribulation time. It follows the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, not only will the holy angels be with him, but according to Jude, it says, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So you got the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, you have the angels coming back, and you got us believers who have been raptured and now have been at the Bema Seat or coming back with him. But this is the coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. It precedes the beginning of his thousand-year reign. And this is not, it's clear that this is not the same as the great white throne of judgment, which involves only the wicked, which follows the millennium. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, when it's all said, when it's all done, at the end of the thousand years, then we have the death being raised and hell, and then there is the great white throne judgment. And so 20, beginning at verse 11, it says, And I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. It says, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Because immediately now when an unbeliever dies, where does he go? He goes to hell. Death and hell are raised, and so those in hell already are judged, and they're judged here at the great white throne as to the degree of punishment that they're going to suffer for all of eternity. It's a frightful place. So what I'm saying is the judgment of the nations is right toward the beginning of the 1,000 years, and the place of this judgment is on earth. It is not in heaven. The phrase, "the Son of Man shall come in his glory when all of his holy angels with him," is a picture of Christ and his angels coming from heaven to earth. And is substantiated by the other clause. It says, "then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." This is not the throne in heaven. This is the throne that he's going to be sitting on, and he's going to be ruling and reigning on earth for a literal 1,000 years. And it's an earthly throne. It was predicted by the prophets. And we read in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, it says, "Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, and I will raise unto David a righteous branch." You know who the righteous branch is? It's Jesus Christ. He's the righteous branch. "And a king shall reign and shall prosper," and here it is, "and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." I'll tell you what, this is the supreme judge. I'm not talking about, this is the supreme judge of earth, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the place of this judgment, therefore, is the millennium. It is in earth. It is not in heaven. And look at verse 25 of Matthew chapter 25, verse 32 now. We've got to do a little Greek work here to get you to understand it. In Matthew 25, 32, it says, "all nations." That's one word in the Greek. And it's the word ethne, where we get our word ethnic. And the word ethnic is generally used of non-Gentile races, non-Gentile races. The context here indicates that the nations or the Gentiles should be viewed as non-Jewish population of the world. And in the narrative of Matthew 25, 40, it is contrasted and distinguished with "my brethren." Jesus was in his earthly body, what nationality? Jewish. He wasn't blue-eyed and blonde-haired. Some of those pictures that I see of Jesus, I just have to laugh. Very clearly it says that he couldn't be distinguished from other Jewish people. So not being derogatory at all, he had dark eyes, he had a dark complexion, he probably had a larger nose, and you couldn't distinguish him from anybody else in relationship to that. And so what we have here is the judgment of the Gentiles, and the passage here talks about distinguishing between the sheep and the goats, which are comprised of the Gentile groups, the Gentile masses. The English word "nations" there shouldn't be inferred to be a political group or countries. What this is talking about, as you look at the word, ethne, is talking about a racial thing, not a political thing or a country thing, but rather it's an organizational term, and it applies only to individuals and not groups. So the Lord is judging. He's not saying, "well, the United States, you get here, and Canada, you get here." No, no, no. It's talking about individual Gentile people come before the Lord. All nations, therefore, is better understood to be all Gentiles, more specifically all Gentiles who are alive at that time, at the end of the tribulation time, because there has been a mass slaughter of millions and millions and millions and millions, even billions of people during the tribulation time. The time the Lord returns to set up his earthly kingdom is when this judgment takes place. But what's the basis? What is he going to use as a basis? You can't help but watching what's going on in Germany, what's going on in France, what's going on in Spain, even to a degree what's going on in the United States. The basis is the treatment of the Jews. That's right. Matthew 25:40 says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." In looking at Matthew chapter 25, as all the Gentile nations are gathered before Christ to be judged, they're divided into two classes. And they're divided into the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25:33 says, "And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left." Having made this decision, he justifies how he's judging them and how he addresses them as sheep in a very graphic way. And remember, he is called the King. Jesus Christ is the what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He makes the rules. And he says in 25, chapter 25, 34 through 36, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Because God had promised that he was going to come and rule and reign on the earth, and this is the beginning of that. See, here's what's happening. When we begin the 1,000 years, it is only believers who are going to be entering, only sheep who are going to be entering into the millennium to begin with. That's what the judgment is all about here. "For when I was hungered, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." This declaration by the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it's amazing because it has to do with ordinary, with ordinary kindnesses, not something over and above, but just ordinary works. He feeding the hungry, giving the thirsty to drink, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, those in prison. Christ declares that they have done it unto these, the Jews have done it unto him. Now, in contrast, the other side is you have the anti-Semitic group, and that's really what you have here is the anti-Semitic group. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in. Naked, ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not." The goats neglected all the works of mercy. You know, I just find it amazing how Israel has given back the Gaza Strip and how Israel has given back land for peace. And you know what? Anytime it looks like there's going to be maybe some peace come between them, they start lobbing missiles. The Palestinians start lobbing missiles over in there. And I'm telling you that the Palestinians aren't Jews, so guess what? They're in this judgment right here, the ones who make it through the tribulation time. They go into everlasting punishment and the righteous unto eternal life. Now, I do want to make sure that you get something very clearly. It's clear in the New Testament that works do not save. But saved men and women do good works. I believe the sheep here are born-again believers. They've survived the tribulation. The sheep who have manifested their faith in Christ under trying circumstances by befriending a Jew are now rewarded by being ushered into the millennial kingdom with its blessings of Christ's righteous rule and his beneficent care over all those who trusted in him. It's believers, these believing Gentiles, who will be ushered into the millennial kingdom. The goats, well, they follow the course of the world. Undoubtedly, they participated in the persecution of the Jews, and they neglected acts of kindness. I just want to stop here and pause this a little bit. Do you know where the Palestinians get most of their electricity? Israel. You know where they get most of their water? Israel. And then they turn around and bomb them. It's crazy. They neglected acts of kindness, and so they come under divine judgment that they deserved, and they're cast into the lake of fire. They're unbelievers. I do have a final thought on this judgment of the nations. The purpose of the judgment of the Gentiles is obviously the one of separation, separating the righteous from the unrighteous to go into the millennial kingdom. In reality, if you have studied the parables of Matthew chapter 13, there's the parable of the wheat and the tares, there's the parable of the good fish and the bad fish. What you have here in the judgment of the nation is a fulfillment of Matthew 13. Let's turn with me to Matthew 13, 24 through 30. In Matthew 13, 24 through 30, and then we'll skip to 36 through 43, it's the parable of the wheat and the tares. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Then it goes on in 26, it says, and when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field, and whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, the enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, nay, lest while ye gather up tares, ye root up also the wheat. But let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into the barn. Now let's go down and find the interpretation, verse 36 through 43. It says, and Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came up on him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil, and the harvest, here it is the end of the world. And the reapers are the what? The angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. It says, who hath ears, let him hear. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go through the good fish and the bad fish. That's 47 through 50. Now, I want you also to know, as we kind of wrap things up here, the context makes it evident that this is not, N-O-T, not the final judgment, because you've got the thousand-year reign of Christ to come here, where the individuals are concerned. Those who are ushered into the millennial kingdom, remember this now, are still in their natural bodies, okay? They still have life to live, and ultimately will either die or be translated or have their life reviewed in finality, because Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto men once to what? Die, and after that, the judgment. So the great white throne, again, is not what is in focus here. The sheep will be subject to the ultimate reward for their works, then the wicked ones will stand before the great white throne of judgment, casting the wicked into everlasting fire. Should not be confused with the final judgment of the lake of fire, which will occur at the end of the thousand years. It is rather that they move into the state of judgment described as everlasting fire or Hades or hell, which is the temporary abode of the wicked until the final judgment of the wicked at the great white throne of judgment. So again, the judgment of the nations, those who have trusted Jesus Christ and been benevolent to the Jews, they will move into the thousand-year kingdom. But guess what? They will have kids. If somebody dies at 100, they'll think that they're a kid. Some people are going to live like Methuselah lived. They'll likely live through most of the thousand years, because the curse is taken off the earth in the millennium. And so they're going to be having kids, 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 and more kids. And the reason that Satan is loosed for a little season before the great white throne of judgment is to give them an opportunity to either follow Christ or follow Satan. They dare not rebel against the Lord during the millennium. Do you know why? He rules with a rod of iron. That's what it says. And we're going to rule and reign with him. So it's a millennium's kind of a strange place. Now let me tell you why. Because we are coming back according to Jude chapter 11. Turn to Jude chapter 11 if you might. Or chapter 11. That would be a joke. Verse 11. Actually verse 14. Jude 1:14. In Jude 1:14 it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all," says, "to convince all of that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." And so here we come back and we rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, and that's why it's very, very clear that we have our glorified bodies. What does that mean? We have bodies that are going to be like Christ's bodies. We can eat, we can drink, but they will not deteriorate. They are there. You're going to have perfect eyesight. It's fun to think about all those things, but right now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. I think that it'll give a whole new meaning to the fact that we have the mind of Christ then, when right now we see through glass darkly. And so we're going to be ruling and reigning. We're going to be there at this time. It is also going to be a little bit later on that we're going to judge angels. Now, there isn't much more said on that. I thought about adding the judgment of angels and things, but nonetheless, the judgment of the nations we're going to have a part in. So here you have us with glorified bodies. Now, we're ruling and reigning on the earth. King Jesus comes back. He comes back with us. We have the judgment of the individual Gentiles, the Gentile ethnics, all ethnic Gentiles are going to be judged that are alive at the end of the tribulation. And the ones who are saved are and have protected the Jews, they're going into the millennium. The ones who are not are going to be cast right then into hell, reserved for the great white throne of judgment a little bit later. So the millennium is going to be one interesting time. I do not know how the world is going to be broken up, but I rather think, just like anything else, we'll be assigned to different jobs in the kingdom, and who knows what we're going to do, but all I can say is I am glad I am saved. What a day that'll be when we'll have no more old nature, and we'll be a part of Christ's group to be able to rule during the 1,000 years. All of the Gentiles, everybody, in fact, everybody who's in the millennium, all of those who are in the millennium, they're for 1,000 years. Well, let's close things out.